Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's rather remarkable in one sense that those who have confessed the faith of the Reformation have often been accused of having failed to acknowledge with sufficient emphasis the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit often gets characterized in our modern day as one who provides an ecstatic, charismatic, even out-of-control experience in a person's life, and that this is an experience that is missing from the emotionless and stoic character of those who hold to the Reformed faith. What's remarkable about that kind of an assessment, though, is that a non-Reformed point of view of the Christian experience wants to believe that somehow Christians become Christians without the need of the Holy Spirit. People are good enough to make their own choices on their own free will, and are free to be able to do so from apart from any divine intervention. The reason that Calvin became known as the theologian of the Holy Spirit is because he promoted the biblical point of view that apart from the Holy Spirit, we can never make the saving confession that Jesus is Lord, Lord of salvation solely, Lord of us entirely, Lord of all entirely. Of course, we should take joy in the salvation to which we're called in Jesus Christ. But the reason that we can is because of who the Holy Spirit is and what he does, so that we're connected to Christ and all his blessings. We're to rest our faith in the Holy Spirit, even as we do in God the Son and God the Father. So we want to think about that a little bit this morning, or this evening, about resting our faith in the Holy Spirit because of who he is and because of what he does for us. Think about who the Holy Spirit is. John speaks to us here as to who the Holy Spirit is. He says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, which is why you can overcome the falsehoods of the world and make the right confession of Christ, and why you're able to maintain and stay in that faith. God is greater than the devil. He's greater than the spirit of falsehood. He's greater than the spirit of error. He's greater than the spirit of Antichrist. The Holy Spirit is greater than all to our comfort, which is why the confession we make too would say to us that the Spirit is a comfort to us and is so for all times. It's because the Holy Spirit's God himself. We rest in the Holy Spirit as we do in part because the Holy Spirit is, as we confess, fully God, co-eternal with the Father and the Son. We can trust him just like we can trust God the Father and God the Son. Trusting in the Holy Spirit is trusting someone personal. It's tempting to speak about the Spirit as somebody impersonal, as if he were just an attribute or a force or some mere power that somehow oozes from the Father or from the Son, but not a being like the Father and the Son. And yet, he is his own person. We sang about that earlier, about how we are not to grieve the Spirit. We can't. And we can because he's personal. We can sin against him as one personal and one divine. He speaks, he creates, he renews, he regenerates. He accomplishes all of those things on a divine level. He's viewed as a counselor or a comforter, and not to forget his intercessory work that he does on earth as he resides in his own. And those aren't actions that can occur by some impersonal, non-defined enigma. And even more, he cannot be viewed as merely personal, but divinely so. As the one whose communion along with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father becomes a blessing to everybody who receives it by grace through faith. Here then is why we should look to the Spirit on the same level as the Father and the Son, and distinctly apart from mere sinful and created beings. Because who can change the heart like he? Who can create like he? Who can sanctify like he? Who can protect us from the demonic force and from error and ourselves like he can? Only if he were the one who is greater than he who is in the world deceiving the nations. Only he who is God himself. Here's one of the reasons that we rest in God the Holy Spirit, because like the Father and the Son, we find in the Spirit one worthy of our ultimate trust, because he's the Almighty God, God the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, we've already been shifting our attention into the reasons why we also rest in him when we speak about his actions. And yet, not just because of his actions, but actions directed toward us, accompanied, accomplished in us for the sake of Jesus Christ. The Catechism will speak about some of those actions, and the Scripture mirrors those, of course, and adds others. And we hear that he's been given to us personally so that by true faith, he makes me share in Christ and all his blessings. He comforts me. He remains with me forever. One of the reasons that we rest in the Holy Spirit is because we know that we simply couldn't do without him. If we are without the Father, we are spiritual orphans. If we're without the Son, we're without an advocate, redeemer, savior, and almighty King to protect us. If we're without the Spirit, we're without the life that we need to make the confession of faith that includes our trust in the Father and the Son and the Spirit. One of the huge reasons that we find ourselves not resting in ourselves ultimately and glorying in the triune God instead is because it is the Spirit of God who provides us a new heart to replace our stony one, that would keep us from the truth and would cause us to just follow along with the world, like John would say, let alone to test the spirits of falsehood to see if they are of God. Confessing the Holy Spirit properly is an act of humility. It is a way in which we say to the world, to ourselves, and to our God that we do not make the confession of our Savior because we're so smart, or because we're so wonderful. We're spiritual fools apart from the Spirit of God. When we make the confession of the Holy Spirit the way that we need to make that confession, the way that it will make its impact on us then will be utterly remarkable. I mean, it's something we've confessed forever anyway in the churches of Jesus Christ, the Reformed faith, that apart from the Spirit of God and not being known in him, if we go all the way back to question 8 in the Heidelberg Catechism, it would say, are we so corrupt that we're totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil? Yes, unless we're born again by the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God so essentially in order to be able to make the not only the proper confession, but to live the proper life the Lord has called us to. Because our Christian confession isn't just that God created us and we're his creatures. It's not even just that we belong to Christ and we owe him all for saving us. Those are truths. It's not even just that God so loved the world that he gave his Son. But our Christian confession is that because the Father and the Son gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to us as well, we can enjoy and we can be equipped with the life that our hearts need to acknowledge Christ as Savior and King and be tapped into all the benefits that come to belonging to Christ. Without that gift of the Spirit, and that's certainly how we confess it, that he's been given to us personally, not because we earned him, not because we demanded him so much. No, he's been given to us as a gift, and without that gift, we're nothing. But with him, we possess everything that we need for life and eternity. Praise the Spirit through Christ's merit. He doth us salvation bring. The power of the Holy Spirit on our lives impacts our attitudes in three particular ways. And I think that there are things that really make an impact in terms of how we go about living our lives. The power of the Holy Spirit impacts our attitude in three ways when we know, we truly understand his gracious communion in us. First of all, we glory in God in fullness and not ourselves at all. We glory in God in fullness and not ourselves at all. Being God's children is by grace. Being saved is by the blood of Jesus Christ and not our works. But believing these things is of the Holy Spirit. And that's also a gracious thing. It isn't just in the Father that we glory, nor just the Son, nor just the Father and the Son, but in the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Our very faith, our very confession we owe to the Spirit of God. And so we recognize in it from one person to the next, to God be the glory from beginning to end. And this is why worship is the natural thing to do for Christians, to the fullness. Because Christians will recognize when they understand the importance of the spirits in their life, in their lives, that they owe even their very faith to God by way of the Holy Spirit. And so the power of the Holy Spirit impacts our attitude towards God. We glory in God in fullness because we realize to the very core of our being, to the very heart of our lives, we wouldn't make the confession that we do apart from the Spirit of God. Second, the Holy Spirit impacts our attitudes towards our fellow believers the more we appreciate His work in us. Only by the grace of the Holy Spirit are we who we are. It's only through Him that we have become what we've become unto faith and unto our sanctification. And the more that we appreciate that, the more humble we will be as we deal with one another in the Church of Jesus Christ. Because we know that all that we are, we owe not just to the Father, not just to the Son, but to the Holy Spirit, and those three in one alone. And we're not better than anybody else. And whatever we do that we accomplish, as we heard again this morning, is because only the power of the Lord is establishing that in our lives through His Spirit. And so whatever character that we may be able to bear in our lives, whatever fruit of the Spirit that we're able to bear, whether it's love or joy or peace or patience or goodness or kindness or gentleness or faithfulness or self-control, from whence does it come? It comes only by way of the fruit of the Spirit. Whatever we're able to be, it has, as John would say here, it has its origins from God. I mean, he mentions that about us as well, as he talks about he who is in us, is the one who's greater than he who's in the world. He says in verse 4, little children, you're from God, which is why you're able to overcome falsehood. It's because your origins are from God, and particularly from the Spirit of God. And remembering that will make a difference in the way that we treat each other. Because remembering the power of the Spirit in our lives is the most humbling experience. Thirdly, the power of the Spirit at work in us will also make a difference in the way that we deal with the world around us. And in two particular ways, two different manners. One of the manners is that His power at work in us will make us more discerning. And I think that's very evident in the passage we read today. Not every teaching is spiritual. We're not to believe every spirit. We are to believe in the Holy Spirit. We're to believe His Spirit-inspired teachings, but we are not to believe every spirit, because not every teaching is spiritual. Not every teaching is good. Not every teaching is true. If, for instance, as the Apostle John has mentioned, people were to teach the denial of Christ's humanity, of His incarnation, of His birth unto true humanity, he says, you'd know that this person didn't have the Spirit of God at work in him, and that he would be from the world. And yeah, don't be surprised that the world believes that, because the world follows a different spirit, not the Spirit of God. And it's opposed to the apostles who were from God, who were inspired by the Spirit, and who would teach the incarnation of God the Son, the Word becoming flesh and dwelt among us. That very thing is what the apostle would teach. And this lack of the Spirit would be true about any teaching or any teacher who would deny any fundamental teaching about the Christian faith. If those fundamental teachings, the apostle is really saying, are not what you're hearing from a teacher, those are not teachings of the Spirit. And therefore, they are not teachings from God. They're not originating from Him. Now, sometimes you get the impression in our world, and sometimes in modern Christendom, that to be truly spiritual or truly in the Spirit, you should be devoid of doctrine. You should be devoid of teaching, because doctrine's for eggheads, and doctrine is for Stoics, and doctrines are that which keep people from spiritual vitality. But if you're really in the Spirit, well, then you've got the spiritual lifeblood that you need. But it seems like oftentimes that there's this false dichotomy that gets set up that way. Teachings on the one hand, the Spirit's on the other hand, and neither shall the twain meet. That's a false distinction. The Spirit is found where the truth of the gospel is found. That's what the apostle's teaching us here. It's found where God's gospel is, where His word is, where the truth is proclaimed. Because the truth is from the Spirit. And the truth is from God. And by the Spirit, then, we can test the spirits to see if they are from God and the Spirit. And we can know by what people teach. Now, the other manner in which the power of the Spirit impacts our view of the non-Christian world is with a sense of loving concern for them. Even when they oppose us. Even when there's truth and error, or there's this hostility towards, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ. Because regardless of how they may view us, they still need to see a humble spirit flowing from us toward them, as those who know that we are but a product of the grace of the Holy Spirit. They need to see that we live as those who remember that all that we have and all that we need is given to us by the power of the Spirit of Christ to a humbling extent as we interact with the world. We live around them and speak to them then not as high and mighty, because apart from the grace of God, there go we. But with a heart that wants nothing less than that the very Spirit that has been working in our own lives might be at work in theirs unto salvation and unto service to the King to which we've been called. We can live that way before the world when we do rest in the Spirit to provide us with all we need in Christ for salvation and for service. It's a remarkable statement we make, that the Spirit of God makes me share in Christ and all His blessings. Greater is He who is in you. Now, some would have us believe that there's these ordinary Christians over here, and then there are these super Christians, charismatically inclined over here. And don't you wish you were like that? But yeah, you're just this ordinary Christian. Nothing's farther from the truth. When you and I make the good confession of Christ by the remarkable grace and power of the Spirit, something super has already happened in our lives. Something great. You know? It seems like sometimes we can live our lives hoping something remarkable happens to make our life exciting. But when you've been endowed by the Spirit of God to make the good confession that Jesus Christ is your Lord, there's nothing greater. There's nothing more superior. Nothing more marvelous that could have happened in your life than that. There's nothing greater than that. To be able to say that greater is He who is in you than He who is in the world. Because if He's there and we're making this confession, we're saved. We're new creatures in Christ. We're equipped to serve Him, to serve the King, to be part of His kingdom. And we're filled with the hope of glory. And we're endowed with the presence of the Spirit of God forever as He dwells in us as His temples. When you make that confession, something super has already happened to you. And you won't be able to find anything that's greater than that. Something super has happened to you, and you get to live with that spiritual superiority the rest of your days, all by the grace of God. You know what? We're not called to become super Christians. Being a Christian is super. It's superior. Because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world, thanks to the Holy Spirit's work in us. And that's also why, you see, we rest in Him and we make our confession of Him that we do, that I believe in the Holy Spirit because of what He's done for me. So we rest in the Holy Spirit in faith because of who He is and what He's done in us. And so if people want to know if the Spirit's in you, or you may be asking that yourself, tell them what you believe about grace. And tell them about who it is for whom you live. Tell them what a super life you live because of the grace of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. If they hear you confess the gospel and they see you live it out humbly, they will see and they will hear that you are bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And they'll see why it is that you confess that you believe in the Holy Spirit. For greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Amen.